Connecticut's Department of Children and Families, also known as DCF, making changes following concerns raised after a child's death earlier this year. DCF saying it is strengthening case reviews and safety practices, including additional oversight of high-risk cases. And the changes come after the Office of the Child Advocate raised concerns about whether DCF policies were actually being consistently followed. And so we are talking now to Christina Guillo, the state's child advocate. And Christina, when that report first came out, your recommendations earlier in the spring, we had you on the show. I recommend people to go back and listen to that podcast because I think you break down a lot of the concerns your office had, the cases that you guys are looking at, obviously, right now. What is your response to what DCF just said they would do based on your recommendations?
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me on this morning. I think there's a lot of positive in this letter, a lot of good changes that are consistent with our recommendations. And our recommendations really fell into three categories: accountability, transparency, and services. And with regard to accountability, what we talked about was really number one, ensuring that workers were held accountable to the expectations that are set out in policy and that they be given the supports they need to be able to do that. And I think a lot of this letter focuses on that category of recommendation. There are a lot of changes with regard to supervision that we think are positives, including hiring of case aides, requiring that supervision be in person, requiring supervision include a review of safety and really emphasizing for staff that the safety review has to include all of the case history, including out-of-state history. So those are all really positive things. And, from our perspective, supervision is the first place where we need to ensure that everybody's doing what's expected, because that's what will lead to improvements in some of those other foundational aspects of case practice that we've talked about before, right? Making sure the visits are happening, making sure all the collateral contacts are happening.
It seemed like, Christina, a lot of the focus was on new people. So if you work within 6 months of being with DCF, you have to work in person and giving more oversight and giving more support, which is a good thing, right? Because one of the biggest issues with DCF is that we have a lack of workers, unfortunately. I mean, this is a very, very tough job. And I've said before on this show, and I'll say it forever, I have some of my favorite people are DCF workers here in the state of Connecticut. So I hear firsthand from them how challenging the job is. It is not one that I would ever want to do myself, nor could I do myself, I think. It takes a very special person, I think, to work for DCF. That being said, it felt like a lot of the focus was on new workers. And I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't, I think, going far enough with requiring more in-person services. Because one of the biggest concerns, when you look at a case that I know your office is investigating right now, is the Jacqueline Mimi Torres case and completely Zooming a kid that was not her. She had already died months ago and they Zoomed with a kid in another state that was not her. And so this prolonged even finding out that she had perished. And so I'm surprised. I don't know if you felt that the response goes far enough.
Well, I think so. A couple of things. The requirement that new employees work in person for the first 6 months is, as far as I know, a general state requirement. I don't think that's new. And I think so that we did focus in part in our recommendations on enhanced supervision for new employees for obvious reasons, right? It is a really tough job. Mm-hmm. And experience really does matter. And so we did make a recommendation for enhanced supervision in the first 2 years. They didn't clearly adopt that specific recommendation. And I think a lot of the supervision recommendations apply to everyone. The requirement that supervisory meetings take place in person, the use of what they call the ABCD paradigm, right? So they have a practice model of sort of how do we assess safety of families and children. But it wasn't really fully implemented. And so they've made some changes to do that, that we hope will be beneficial. I mean, it's going to take some time to see if these changes have an impact, right? That's where our focus is, right? Is, okay, we see this list of changes. Now what we want to do is follow that qualitative case review data. That's the data that we put in that letter in April, to see, is that going to result in improvements? Because, you know, our perspective really is that if DCF does not have current, reliable, accurate, and complete information, they can't make good decisions, right? And that only happens if they are going out and doing the visits consistent with policy, if they're reaching out to all the collateral contacts, meaning the pediatricians, the schools, the providers for the parents, whoever's involved with that family. They're supposed to reach out to those folks monthly and get information. And so that's what we want to see, is are those things happening in every case, right? Because we hear about the cases with the most horrific outcomes. And then, you know, of course, our office goes back and tries to dig in deep to those to understand what happened in that particular case. But from a system perspective, you know, we worry about the kids that we don't hear about, right? Because if we're making decisions based on inadequate information and we're leaving kids in homes where they're not safe, that's a problem, right? We're not helping those kids. And we may not hear about those kids because sometimes children are left in homes where they're continuing to be abused and neglected. But we don't hear about them because there isn't, you know, sort of those kinds of horrific outcomes that we never want to see.
We are chatting with Christina Guio. And Christina, I know I do this every time to you, but I always forget to check. Are you still the acting child advocate, or are you finally, have you been given that role yet, for the love of God?
I am officially confirmed.
Well, thank God.
Now in the role as child advocate.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
That's what I said before, but then I got nervous because I'm like, wait, I never followed up with you. Okay, great. Thanks. It took long enough, but my goodness. Not that that was on you. I just wanted to make sure. So the Connecticut child advocate, Christina Guio, who has been wonderful, always makes the time for us here on WICC, despite her insanely busy schedule. I want to know from you, after this response from DCF, you know, what does better oversight even look like in terms of DCF caseworkers? You know, you were just talking about that before as one of the, you know, key, I'd say, feedback items that came from DCF. But what does better oversight look like?
You know, that's such a good question. You know, there are a couple of things that I think about. First is, you know, for almost 30 years, the state had was under federal court orders, right? And we had what was called a consent decree, which is just a court order. And we had what was called the 1F Court Monitor's Office. And they regularly conducted case reviews. So they looked at DCF cases, they collected data, and they published information on very specific outcome measures, right? To see how DCF was performing. And that happened constantly over the course of that consent decree. And the consent decree ended in March of 2022. And when that consent decree ended, that office closed, and all of that data stopped being produced, right? Mm-hmm. We have some of that we put in our April letter. They were what they call DRS reviews, which is really just looking at certain benchmarks for their investigations work, right? Did they do it in a timely way? Did they meet with the children? There's specific questions. And what we saw and what we put in our letter was a real significant decline in those measures, in the most important measures, right? Again, are they visiting? Are they getting the information they need? Since the end of that consent decree. And so we really believe that there needs to be that kind of constant, independent gathering and publishing of information, of outcome measures, to tell us whether or not the work is being done well, right? I mean, ultimately, what do we want from our child protection agency? We want to make sure children are safe, and we want to make sure that the situation has improved as a result of the state's involvement with that family. Ultimately, that's what we need to know. And so we need a system for making sure that's happening and for that to be transparent. And so we really believe that that's a critical component the state needs to develop.
So the state needs to slash, I would think, the agency. And I only push back on that, Christina, because, again, not saying that this is on you, but I don't know how exactly we even measure whether the new changes would work other than, dare I say, kids being left in the balance, a.k.a. dying. Like, I hate to say it so bluntly, but that's kind of how do you determine if the measures are working? I mean, do we have to go to the extreme of seeing if kids are actually safe or not with DCF? And to create sort of that system, if it falls on the state, my understanding from lawmakers is that DCF has to be willing to work with them. Like, they have to be willing to say, hey, we need help here, or this isn't working here, or whatever. But my understanding is they've not been open to that.
Yeah, and I do think that's an important component, right? The agency itself needs to be able to look critically at their work, to identify where their needs are, and to ask for whatever they need to be able to do the job, right? And that's always been a challenge. I think in addition to that, this sort of qualitative case review, right, what we looked at, right now they're doing that qualitative case review, and we're sort of dependent on them to continue doing it. There are ways the state could create independent oversight, right? I mean, our office does independent oversight. We're just not staffed to do that kind of independent qualitative case review currently, right? There's also that oversight committee that was created by the legislature, and they can require that DCF report certain information to them, again, look at identified outcome measures. For example, we want to make sure that every child that has an open case with DCF is visited consistent with the policy, both in terms of the number of visits and what's done during the visit, right? And we want them to consistently give us auditing reports on that outcome measure, right? We can report that to the oversight committee so that there's public information, and then there can be a response to that, right? Because until we really look honestly and openly at the functioning of the department, we really can't make the changes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, I know time will kind of tell. I guess I would, you know, unfortunately, because we've run out of time, Christina, I would end with saying, you know, are you concerned, or did you get a sense, rather, that the commissioner is open to doing more collaborative work?
There's certainly, they have expressed a desire to work on these issues. I think the letter is responsive in many ways. We don't have time to talk about that. It doesn't do everything that we recommended, but I think it's responsive in many ways. And I think we need a little time to see if that actually impacts the quality of the case practice.
Okay. Well, Christina Gio, I guess that then leads to you coming back on the show, I'm sure, before you know it. And I always appreciate you giving us the time. Really, it means an awful lot to have these conversations on air. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for covering this issue.
Of course. Christina Gio, again, the Connecticut Child Advocate, right here on WICC.